articles, 3,000 questions that I've answered. There's an almost infinite amount of material available at my website. Feel free to use it. All right. Now, last week, the topic was?
Knowledge.
So we talked about loving God with all of your heart and having a plan and making it interesting and having this Psalm 119 attitude and having, you know, all those things. But I ended by saying we have to learn how to study the Bible. So I talked about asking the right questions. I also talked about learning the science, if you will, of how to actually interpret the scripture. What's the fancy word for that?
Oh, cannot say that word.
It's named after a Greek god, the Greek god of the messenger god, Hermes. Correct. The word is
hermeneutics.
So, and then I kind of did, okay, there you go, hermeneutics, there you go. Okay, great, aren't you glad? So I thought, maybe I should maybe make a handout. So could somebody hand these out? I only have about 12 of them, so not everybody will get one. This is at my website. And so for your own knowledge later on, these are just some principles as you're reading the scriptures. These are just common sense rules. None of these are in the Bible. This is just common sense rules that Bible interpreters over the last many centuries have learned to apply. Things like every passage has one meaning. The most obvious meaning is usually correct. If the author tells you what it means, he or she gets to decide what it means. Always use context, blah, blah, blah. Okay, got it? Just a little tool for you to take home for you to increase in your knowledge. Okay? Ah, yes, there's your invitation to next Tuesday. Thank you, Jan. Holiday dinner, Christmas carols, white elven exchange. Okay, great. Yeah. Yes?
Is there a dress code?
Yes, we still have a dress code.
Put it this way. No, we're not doing an ugly sweater contest, if that's what you're asking. If you want to wear an ugly sweater, you may wear an ugly sweater. All right. Actually, although I'm putting Hebrews 5 verse 12 up there, we actually started in 2 Peter 1. So let me read 2 Peter 1. It says, this is how we started last week. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, love. For you possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these, we want to grow in our knowledge and in our self-control. And these different qualities sort of feed off of one another. Then we went to another passage that's talking about becoming mature and growing in our faith. That's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, where he says, in fact, though by now you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Here he's talking about knowledge. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So he's talking about two aspects of growing up in the faith. Number one, growing up in our knowledge, the yellow first section there. And number two, growing up in our self-control, in our ability to honestly sin less. If you've been a Christian for a period of time, you ought to literally be sinning less. Quite a bit less. Will you ever be sin less? No, in God's eyes you will be, but we should grow in those things. So that's part B of part three of whatever of our series on practical Christianity. All right. Oh, remember what was the thing that I used to explain the importance of knowledge? What's the little physical thing I brought? Is it, remember? The little toolbox, right? I brought that little thing with all the, all right, so today it's going to be a crowbar, but I thought I'll start with a torque wrench. So self-control is the torque wrench for all these other Christian characteristics. In other words, every Christian quality that you have is made much, much more effective if you combine it with self-control. Without self-control, all the other positive Christian characteristics you might have will always remain relatively unproductive. But if we can grow in our self-control, our self-discipline, all right, then all those other Christian characteristics will produce so much more. So, add to your self-control, add to your knowledge self-control. Because without self-control, your knowledge will never, ever be productive. So like I said, to me, self-control or discipline is the torque wrench. The more self-control, the more things you can do for God. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be unproductive and ineffective in my Christian life. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So we're going to look at several passages that talk about self-control. Now, our lesson today is absolutely not theological at all. I'm kind of big into theology and deep teaching and deep knowledge, and that's kind of my thing. I'm a teacher, I'm a professor, so I like that deep intellectual stuff. That's the red meat for me. But honestly, without self-control, all that stuff is just a bunch of knowledge. And knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So today, we're going to stay away from theology. We're just going to talk about, hey, practical Christian life. Yes, somebody's on. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Here we go. It says here, for God, the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. By the way, people outside of Christianity, they know a little bit about self-discipline. I mean, there's self-help books. It's not like Christians have sort of a lock on the idea of self-control and self-discipline. I mean, if you're going to be a great basketball player, a great tennis player, a great lawyer, a great whatever. I mean, what we're talking about is, it's not like not monopolized by Christianity. But we do have one thing that they don't have, at least theoretically, that should make our ability to have self-control so much more. And what is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like, it's like STP. You know what STP is? Oh, man. You're not old enough to know about STP. There it is! STP! Yes, that's that gas treatment. You put the STP in that gas and you get lots more acceleration and lots more gas mileage. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of like the STP of Christianity. I know that's an old example, but Francisco knows what I'm talking about. Francisco's put STP in his gas tank. That's right. Okay. God gave us a Holy Spirit that allows us and gives us the ability to have so much more self-control than we otherwise would have had.
That's right.
But my question is that you? Yes. Is that you? I hope so. I believe it's because, see, in order to have self-control, you have to have self-control, which means you have to talk to yourself and say, self, we're not doing that. Self, we're doing that. We're going to keep doing that. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to start doing this. And the Holy Spirit, if we're willing to listen to Him, is that extra voice that says, oh, by the way, did you remember that you told yourself? And by the way, we can have friends that can help us learn self-control, but anything external is nowhere near as efficient. Discipling and mentoring, that's nowhere near as efficient as self-control. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our self-control. The Holy Spirit says, don't go there. Don't open that package. Keep going. Stay in the game. What are some areas that we need to really work on self-control? I've got a list, but let's see. What are some areas? We need to work on self-control.
Eating.
Eating. That's on my list.
Exercise.
Exercise. Studying. Does that take self-control?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Reading the Bible.
Right. Our spiritual walk, prayer and Bible study. It takes self-discipline. All right. Yes. Our use of social media. Self-discipline. It's like any of these things, they're, if controlled, for example, use of credit cards. Some of you shouldn't even have a credit card. Some of you, let me say it again. I don't have anybody in mind, but some of you shouldn't even have a credit card. But I'm telling you, credit cards are awesome. Because basically it's free money. And they add it all up for you. And get it's awesome. But guess what? Jan and I, we pay off every credit card every month, all the time. Without exception, everywhere. Self-control makes it a great tool. Lack of self-control, disaster. So money, use of money requires self. Yes. Also, one thing that people didn't mention is the way you use your mouth. Self-control to saying foolish things. I'm one of those guys, brain, mouth. One time, I was preaching, I was leading a church in Bakersfield, and they asked me to lead a lesson. It was all the churches in the area getting together, and it's cool. And I was talking about circumcision, you know, and I don't know, I just, anyway, I had to apologize to every church leader that was there. It's like, self-control. Bedtime.
Yeah.
Self-control. Yeah. Getting up time.
Yeah.
Self-control, working out. Oh, these are painful thoughts. But I'm telling you, if you get these things down, it'll be like a torque wrench. It'll be like a torque wrench. Or STP. Titus 2, 11 and 12. The question is, will you heed the Bible's call? Self-control. How are you doing on going to bed, getting up, eating, working out, controlling your tongue? Thank you very much. Having quiet wasn't on my list, by the way. Bible study and prayer. Thank you. Studying, etc. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Really, honestly, we only need one verse on self-control because they all pretty much say the same thing. Although the first one mentioned the role of the Holy Spirit, that's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Titus 2, 11 and 12 says here, Titus 2, 11. It was like, I was reading Titus 1, 11 and 12. One of Crete's own prophets said, Cretans are always liars. It's like, oh, okay. Oops. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Okay. All right. For the grace of God has appeared. Okay. Amen. What did we connect with self-control in that first passage?
Grace of God.
In that
Holy
first
Spirit.
Passage? The Holy Spirit.
Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Hey. For the grace of God has appeared. By the way, our lesson last Sunday was about forgiving one another, right? So I'm going to forgive you right away for that. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I got the easiest question I ever asked. How many of you want to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age? All right, I see somebody who's not raising her hand, but that's because she's intently reading the scripture. Amen, amen. I'm just teasing. Yeah. Alright? We all want that.
Amen.
But some of us, we don't realize it. Our room is a mess.
Uh-oh.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. How's your room look? Okay? This week, How much have you exercised? Thanksgiving. How much weight did you gain in the last week or two? Okay. These are things that we all want. And by the way, to some extent, the things I'm listing, these are really the peripheral things. These aren't the core things. The core things are loving God. But the self-control has a lot to do with the peripheral things. But I'm telling you, it's like STP. It's like the torque wrench. And it's like my best example, the crowbar. I wanted to bring my crowbar, but I couldn't find it. What good is a crowbar if you can't find it? All right. All right. But anyway, what is the key to self-control in this passage? Yes, understanding and appreciating the grace of God. If you're struggling with self-control, some of us more than others, if you're struggling with self-control, you might want to spend some time thinking about the grace of God. Because Paul said, that teaches me to have self-control. Because Paul realizes, God forgave me. And that means I want to make a difference in this world. And if I don't have self-control over the flesh and over the practical things of life, I will become a useless instrument. I do not want to be a useless instrument. Like I said, the world knows a little bit about self-control. In fact, there are people who are total pagans who have more self-control than you do. Honest truth. And probably more than I do as well. So we don't have a monopoly. This is not just a Christian idea. But with the Holy Spirit, you have something that they don't have. And if you really understand the grace of God, you have this power. I mean, you know, LeBron James, he's got a lot of self-control. And what's his motivation? Himself.
Cash.
It's a little bit cynical, maybe. But the dude's got self, you can't take that away from him. The guy has, he has self-control. Like, man, a guy has self-control. Alright? But we, and by the way, whether he's a Christian, I'm not judging whether he's a Christian or not, but we have the grace of God. So this passage suggests something that could help. How are you going to stay away from those websites? Well, self-control, but also, because you understand the grace of God. How are you going to control your overeating? Or your binge eating? Self-control, but also because of the grace of God. It teaches you to say no. So self-control, it's like that gasoline additive, STP. It makes the engine work so much better. All right, we got a couple more self-control passages. Proverbs 16:32.
Come on, brother.
Proverbs 16:32. I'm not used to hearing, come on, brother. That's I like that. That's cool. Proverbs 16:32. We're a club, so it sounds a little weird saying, but they say brother at like Elks clubs, right? Don't they?
Yeah.
I think they say, yeah. Yeah, they do that. So it's cool. It's cool. Brother. All right. Proverbs 16:32. I like this one. It says, better a patient person than a warrior. Got it? Somebody's phone, whose phone is?
He's trying to read the scripture
today. Oh. You could turn the sound
down.
Right. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. You know, we think of warriors, we think of athletes, we think of powerful people who do great stuff. But in the long run, in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things, a person with self-control has more power than a soldier with a rocket-propelled grenade. It got something so much more powerful. It's like a crowbar. Little physics. Remember you learned about simple and complex machines? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Yeah. Kevin, you learned about, you're fibbing. You remember that stuff. All right? So it's like this, all right? So I got my crowbar, and I got R1 and I got R2, right? Yeah. And here's me, and I'm pushing down with F2, and that lifts this thing with F1, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I can, cause you know, you got one of those things like that, right? Andres with the thing for the pallets, right? Yeah. And you can lift something, I could lift a house. If I had a long enough crowbar, I could literally lift a house. Because, you know, R2 over R1 equals F2 over F1. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Sir.
Yeah. Right?
Sure.
10 pounds, 100 pounds. Because it's, you know, it's kind of like that. That's what self-control. It's just an illustration. It's just an illustration. That's your life with self-control. Grace of God, Holy Spirit, as things that are going to help that. Unrequited genius is a very familiar story. So many people with so much talent and ability. All right, you think about, what's his name? The quarterback who ended up doing dog fighting and Michael Vick, you know. Or who's that quarterback for the Chargers who, oh man, anyway. You know, yeah, anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. This is one of the human tragedies. So much potential not realized because of lack of self-control. And again, I don't know about you. I want my life to matter. I want to glorify God. So knowledge and self-control. Knowledge is like the weapon, but self-control, you can't wield the weapon effectively. All those other weapons that are in your spiritual armor, if you don't have self-control, they're going to be shooting arrows in all kinds of directions and not really accomplishing anything. On the other hand, there's Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28. This is the negative side of it. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. See, if you lack self-control, you're vulnerable to every kind of attack. Oh yeah, we got something for you. You're not allowed to leave. Although he's going to be there Sunday, but that's okay. We won't see him Friday.
Can we give
you? Yes.
Yeah,
you. Huh?
Here.
Right there. Every student gets a thing, but only the ones that we won't see Friday night get it tonight. So, were you going to come on Friday?
Friday, I'm going back home.
All right. So, aren't you glad we gave that to you? Alpha Omega Club says, "Have a good finals and see you next semester." All right. Great. All right. So it says, "Like a city whose walls are broken through." Is a person who lacks self-control. Because lack of self-control creates vulnerabilities. And you know that. Okay? And so, basically, when we're talking about self-control, we're gonna do our little, you know, group things and talk and stuff. And one of the questions we're gonna ask is, what areas in particular do you need self-control? Now, self-control is a thing that crosses everything. Once you really get self-control, I'm telling you, it goes everywhere. Once in your life you really get self-control, then you can apply it here, here, and here. You know what I'm saying? But probably it's good to start with some of those weak areas, and we'll talk about that. All right? Yeah. A lack of self-control in our schedule, our cleanliness, our spiritual disciplines, our eating, our exercises. We're like leaving a back door and Satan's gone, all right, I know where I'm going to enter. You know the book Screwtape Letters?
Yeah.
This guy Screwtape, he's like the junior demon and his sort of boss demon is trying to train him how to make some guy fall from his faith. And he's saying, man, just find the weak points. Lack of self-control. All right? I'll just give an example. I started to learn a little bit about self-control at an early age. For example, a chemistry major. This is an example, by the way, from before I was a Christian, but still an example. So one thing about chemists is chemists have to be very, very careful and precise. If you can't have highly precise measures, very, very careful, very quantitative, then you can't be a chemist. But the thing is, that's the opposite of my personality is just, you know, Jan will tell you, I don't know, good enough. Like I say, estimating's my superpower. All right, but estimating, as a chemist, estimating you don't estimate, you measure. So I remember I was sophomore year in college, and I was taking analytical chemistry. And the first couple labs, usual thing, just do it as quick as I can, get it, you know, I'm a boom, boom, get it done. I'm great at that. Estimate it, but being careful, being precise, and getting the exact thing, I suck at that, naturally. Mm-hmm. So I decided in that class, I said, I'm going to become the most careful, precise person in this class. I just said, I don't care. I hate this. And so I just decided right then and there that I'm going to just change. I hate this. It's not what I like to do. But I need this tool in my toolbox. Being precise, being accurate, you know, carefully measuring data, writing down every observation. If I don't do this, I'll never be a good chemist. So I decided right then and there. And, you know, I got an A in analytical chemistry. And even today, even though I hate being careful, I hate being precise, I hate counting everything, I know how to do it, and if I have to do it, I can. And it's kind of like that. Self-control is training yourself to do things well that you don't even like to do at all. And honestly, I'm gonna use myself as an example here, okay? I'm sorry, but honestly, I'm pretty good at self-control. And so I'm just gonna share a few examples from my life, and I'm older, so that gives me a big advantage, big leg up on y'all. Alright? I've been running at least once a week for about 35 years. Guess how often I miss running? Never. Unless I'm in the hospital. Alright? And are there times when I'm too busy to run?
Yeah.
But guess what I do anyway? Alright? Are there times when my friends and even my wife says, you know, you shouldn't do that? You know what? I do it anyway. And I do it partly because it helps me to be in shape. I do it partly because if I'm in shape, it gives me more energy to do other things. But I do it partly because it's self-control. And I want to have self-discipline. I want to have self-control because I know it's like a torque wrench. I know it's like a crowbar. And if I can discipline myself. And so I have an iron will about that thing. And I don't make exceptions. I worked for however many years. I was a chemistry professor for, I believe, 34 years. You want to know how many sick days I took in 34 years? No, I actually took one sick day.
Oh, wow.
In 34 years.
Wow.
All right, but I was in the hospital. All right? Now, by the way, probably don't quite take that example. Probably don't quite take, because there's a few times probably got some people sick and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Self-control. I just believe in that. You know, if you know me very well, you might notice after a while, wow, John does a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, he's running and he has this website. That's wow, that website. And he travels all over the world and he writes books and he leads like four different Bible studies a week and a midweek and he's involved in a teaching ministry, putting on, how does he do all that stuff? Let me tell you what it is. The Holy Spirit.
Yep.
the grace of God. But I learned self-control a long time ago. And I'm telling you, it bears dividends. And the sooner you learn it, the sooner you'll start getting those dividends. And I'm telling you, it's great. And lack of self-control, oh, please, please, please. Okay? All right? So, there you go. How is it that I'm able to do all those things? Well, you know, a few things, but really, honestly, self-control. Because I believe in doing everything intensely. And, you know, Daisy will tell you, I sit around doing nothing around the house sometimes, right? Yeah. But even when I'm relaxing, I relax intensely. All right? Because I want to have self-control. You know, you could probably make it to heaven without a whole lot of self-control. You probably could. You know? Because we don't have work salvation. You don't have to do all these great things. I mean, it's obviously everybody would prefer to do that. But I'm telling you, if you want to have a life well-lived, you have to have self-control. In Proverbs 12:1, it says, he who loves discipline loves knowledge. All right? He who loves discipline loves knowledge. So there's a synergy between our two topics of last week and this week. All right, so that was a shorter lesson. You know, I usually go on till 8:30, but we're going to end early. We're going to start our discussion groups. I had enough self-control. No, actually what I had was a lack of material. Because self-control is not a complicated subject. I could have found 5 more passages on self-control, but it probably wouldn't have said a whole lot beyond what I already said. So I'm just going to stop there. We're going to have our discussion questions. All right, now probably you don't want to have this first question, but I'm going to put it out there. All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate yourself? Just across the board in self-control. All right, we're going to talk about that. You don't have to answer that question, but I suggest you do. Now, groups 3-4. And then let's get that over quick, painful as that question might be, or it might be like, yeah. And then number 2, name 2 specific areas of self-control you will work on in the next 1 to 6 months. Whether it's a 1-month project or a 6-month project, probably depends on the kind of thing you're trying to work on, so I kind of gave a broad range. All right? Let's end with a prayer, and then we'll break up into our groups.
I'm going to make less pancakes.
Yeah, less pancakes. This morning for breakfast, Francisco had 5 pancakes, 4 bacons, 2 eggs, and coffee with lots of milk in it. So we had a little self-control discussion just this morning. No, he had it in his house.
They were the little pancakes.
Little pancakes. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the scriptures that make us wise to salvation. Thank you, God, for the men and women who've come to be with us in our devotionals this semester. It's been really fun. It's been really great. I pray that we've all been helped to grow in our faith, and I pray that this room would get filled up in the spring so that we'd have trouble figuring out where to put everybody. God, I pray that you'll help Flo to stop being so silly. Just kidding, just kidding. I'm teasing you, Flo. Amen. Amen. Anyway, God, help us, especially our students, as we go into finals, help us to do a great job. Help us to be clear-minded, to remember the things we studied. I'm thankful, God, for the ways you love us and serve us. And we have this lesson and we spend this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You guys are so funny. It's cool. I love it.
What, those two?
Yeah, they're funny.
Those goofy gals?
They're all goofy, but that's because they're affectionate and they love each other.
Be better.
Okay, groups of 3 or 4. Or 2 if you want.